Thank you for having us. Thank you for receiving all of us. Like Adriana said, it's a dream come true because first time I ever came here in Hereford, I just want to introduce myself, telling to you, the ones who don't know me, a little bit of my story and how my heart is so in love with this place and you guys. First time I came here, I was 20 years old, long time ago, and doesn't look like I know, but still joking. I was a single this time, but was already going out with Marcos. And I come here with the mission trip that our church used to do each 2 years to UK to see our brothers and sisters, to meet you guys. And in Hereford was the city that I liked the most. I don't know why, but was the place that God really stuck my heart with something that I couldn't explain. But somehow, some way, Marcos, for him, was the same city that also was very meaningful for him when he came 2 years before me in 1995. Thank you, Dri, 1995, because Adriana was with him here. So we never knew what God was up to. My friends, we never know what God is up to. So don't take for granted every single moment that God allows you to live. These moments like today is a bit of heaven for us. So let's make the most of this time of gathering and worshiping and hearing God, because God's up to something. So let's be fed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when we came here, the city in 1997, my heart was so full of joy. And then I went back to Brazil and I said to Marcos, I don't know why, but Hereford stuck in my heart. And he said to me, wow, let's see what God's up to. Next year, 1998, we got married. Praise God for that. And I was a businesswoman. I was studying business. And he had just been graduated in dentist. And so we thought we were going to be working in our proficiency. And we will be leading the church as God was calling us to do so. But throughout our jobs as well. But we never know what God's up to, don't we? And God had a plan for us to come over to Hereford as missionary, because our dearest pastor, David Marshall, that by this time had been already with relationship and Christine with our church, Saudade Terra Church, who were the ones who invited our church through Paulo Junius, our pastor, to come to England and get to know all of you. So Paulo Junior, my pastor, was our door to come here, and Dave DeMarsh and Christina were the door that opened in UK for us to come here. Somebody has to open the door. Do you know that? Somebody has to do that. If you don't open the door of our house, nobody's going to come in. You have to make an effort. The same for your heart, for my heart. We have to open the door of our hearts to receive what God has for us. Amen? So, 1999, we were moving here, Marcos and I, with Paul and Alex, with the team that came for the third Aero mission, and we were received in this church. And you're very welcomed here by Christine, Dave DeMarsh, Leslie, and Tony, and Leslie, Cornford, and Frank. By the time, they were the three who received us here. And guess what? I'm going to tell you a secret. Can you believe that I didn't know how to speak English at all? At all. So I was the only one who didn't speak a word in English. Marcos did, Paula very, very much so, and Alex even better. And I was always the one just looking around, just smiling and crying behind the scenes. I thought, God, why did you brought me here? Did you bring me here? What am I going to do if I cannot speak? And then God said to me, this is the point, my daughter. I'm going to teach you that you cannot do before you be. So let be who you are and let's show them your love through the way you are. Because do is the last part. You need to be first. You don't need the words to be. You just need to breathe to be. Doesn't it? And then when we breathe the breath of God, we can be inspired by each other, because we give the Spirit of God to each other before anything we do. Actually, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that if there is no love in everything we do, there is no point. It's pointless, isn't it? So I can do a lot. I can work hard. I can preach well. I can do social work. I can help the widow. I can help the foreigner people. I can help the orphan. I can do anything or everything that God asked me to do. But if I don't have the love of Christ in me, I don't give the main important thing to one another. The job we do, what we do, is just the way for us to be near somebody. Because job is a way for you to serve somebody. Yes? This is the main meaning of job, work. We do something for someone. Amen? And God wants to bring us together for us, experience who He is. So, my friend, being here after 20 years since I first came here, or more than that, it's very important for my heart. I want to thank you, Christine and Leslie, who are here, by the time who were the ones who received me, because of their patience, because of their love, because the way they look after me, because the way they accept me, even though I couldn't do anything or even speak. And one day, I went to a conference in Coventry, and I had been here like four months. We were all together in this conference. It was one of the Go to the Nations conferences in Coventry, and we were there, and then David Marshall came to introduce us to everyone, and then he gave me the microphone. And I looked at him and I said, mm-mm. He said, mm-hmm. I said, I can't speak. He said, yes, you can. And then I obeyed, amen, because it's better to obey than sacrifice. And by the time I took the microphone in my hands, I felt the Holy Spirit shaking me. And I felt this visitation of the Holy Spirit saying to me, I am the one who's gonna capable you to do anything I want you to do. And I will keep you without words when and how long I need, you know what, to humble yourself. Being abroad for me, it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. And this is for all of us, not just for me. I do believe that. Any place you go or any circumstances you are or any situations you get into that you don't control, you don't know all the answers, are very humiliating. And that's so wonderful because when God put us in a place that we need Him, we are all vulnerable to Him and we are all ready to Him to make us the way He wants us to be. Because you know what? We are His daughters. And as His daughters, He looks after us so well that in order to shape us into the model, into the life He wants for us, He's going to break us sometimes. It's like Jeremiah in chapter 18 says about the clay. We are clay. And you know what? For you to be bigger, to be mature, to be better, to be wiser, to be stronger, to be strengthened, to be more capable to face life, to be expanded, how do we do with a vase that is small? We have to break this vase. Go to the clay place again. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes I don't have the right words. And then make us bigger, a bigger vase. So I do believe, my friends, all of you has this important meaning in my life. This is why I'm so glad. I'm so happy. I'm full of joy. I feel so much fed during this day because I can see the faithfulness and the goodness of God running after me. Being able to meet you guys long time ago and let God mold my life into what I am now through your lives. I wouldn't be the same person. I know that. Because there are some things, very specific things that just other people can do in your life. Good and easy and difficult and bad. All of them are before God to use in order to make us better. Can you believe that? If we don't believe that, we will be in a position that we don't accept some things in our life. But you know what? God oversees all situations. And He's the one in charge. to do with all things for us. So I'm very humble. I'm very happy to be here, and especially this time with all my friends here. We come from the same church. Now I serve the church in Goiânia City. Marcos and I pastoring this church alongside other couples here who are pastors as well from the same church. We are all from the same leadership. And I really wanted to show my friends the taste, the flavor, the amazing gift, the amazing presence of God when we are together with brothers and sisters that we don't know yet, but God knows, and we are family. So it has been a wonderful journey. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here once again. The verse that God says to us to come here is Romans 1, 11 and 12. And this has been the verse that brought us here. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I can tell that by myself. I long to see you. I long to see you. I look up at the dictionary and says that a longing describes an unfulfilled desire. I long to see you, not just to hear about you, not just to see you through screens as we can do now. Praise God for that. But then we have here Paul writing to Rome, writing to the ones who lived in Rome. And Paul was writing to them saying that the letters were not enough. Just writing, just for them to read something wasn't enough. He really wants to be with them in person. And that's the desire that comes from the kingdom of God. And it's amazing. And as I told you now, my life has been changed by not just hearing about you, but being with you. Letting your life be a challenge for my life and let my life be a challenge for your life. This is amazing. This is why I wanted so much my friends to come over here. Because I've been telling them the histories, the things I've lived here, and how amazed and how God changed me, and how it's amazing to see our brothers and sisters beyond the sea and get to know them and know that they are different in many ways. But you know what? We are from the same family. And that's amazing. That's possible just by the Holy Spirit. And because we belong to the same Father and we believe in our God, our Savior, it's possible to have family that are different from us, that live in another culture, another culture, and let God work through us. So we came here because we want to see you, not just hear about you. And that's from the kingdom of God. That's not Brazilian culture. That's not English culture. It is kingdom of God. Your nation is one of the nations that most have missionaries being sent to all around the world. We hear his stories about so many here. And it's amazing because you are an island. And you sent so many people around the world. And you did that not because you are an island and you know how well how to navigate on waters, ocean, seas. You did that because you obeyed the word of God saying to us, go and bear fruits over there. That's from the kingdom. And you have to pay attention on that, especially nowadays, because, you know, we are lazy nowadays more than ever before, I think. Somehow, because with the pandemic, we learned that we could be together in somehow through the screens, through mobiles, through so many technology that could bring us together somehow. And that's very good, but that's not enough. The point is, this is not bad, but it's not enough. And you and I, we need everything that God has for us. We need everything inside of us. We need everything to live. Because you know what? We have an enemy around us, who is very bad, and he very evil, and he very mean. So he'll do anything and everything to get you and get me out of God's plans and being away from each other. Because when we are away from each other, we are weak. So he will give you any kind of excuse to your mind to think, okay, I cannot go because I'm tired or I'm busy or I have something else more important to do. But you know what? The Word of God says in Acts that the church was built by the relationship between one another. Our God is our God, Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. They are three in one. They work in unity. They work together. Our God gave us this model of being three instead of one. Why is that? It's all about being together and knowing that God dwells in this place. So I want to think with you that, and come with me, please, and you bear with me a little bit, because I want to share with you what I've been thinking about nowadays, how God made every effort to be together with us. He made appointments to meet us. So should we do? To meet him first and to meet one another. Amen? Well, if we see that in Genesis, when God started to create everything, at the beginning, God was coming to see Adam and Eve every day. Amen, church? Every day. What was the routine? What was the frequency that God was coming to see Adam and Eve? Was it once a week? Was it once a month? Was it not very often? How was it? How was the frequency, the routine that God established with Adam and Eve? Every day. Every day. Because he's our bread of life. We need that every single day. We need God every single day. We need to put our minds aligned with his plans every single day, my friends. Don't let not be as naive. Because this world is evil. And our enemy, he has got strategies that will convince us. They will look like so much like a good excuse. But then in the end, you can know by the Holy Spirit that's not the real thing for us to do. So God came every day, but then suddenly, unfortunately, came the sin between one another and between us and God. Suddenly, Eve decides that something else was better to know, to have control than to relate. I want to point that to you, my friends. Eve was seduced by the hunger for power, for the hunger to control things that she shouldn't know about. You know why? Because just God knows the big picture of our lives. We will never know the whole things. We don't know the days that we're going to live here. So we don't know how it's going to be the days we're going to live here either. So let our heart be guided by the Holy Spirit and let us him to guide us. Amen? When sin came into our lives, we got away from each other. The first thing that Adam and Eve did after sin was, thank you, to hide. They hide away from God. Well, they could have run to God and said, God, please, like a child that runs, Mom, Mom, something broke. Mom, something happened. Don't we? Sometimes we hide as well. But sometimes you ask for help. But then we had a choice, life and death. They choose death because they choose to be away from it, from God and from each other. Because when they put clothes, that meant that they were away from each other. Because they covered who they were. They were not anymore transparent to each other. They had to wear clothes. Why? Because before they didn't, and they were not ashamed. You see that the sin is the reason that why we are away from each other and from God. We run away from God. So let me give you a thermometer. Is that right? When you don't want to be with God, is a fever. It's high fever, okay? It's very bad. So when your heart, when your mind and your body doesn't are not prepared, are not keen on spending time with God, this is a high fever. So make every effort. And then when we have this moment, it's so interesting. Because then we can come over here and say, friend, help me to get back to the place that I belong. I don't have strength. I don't have words. I don't know how. But your strength now is going to be my strength. Your faith now is going to be my faith. And this is why one of the reasons that God gave us family, brothers and sisters, because when one falls, the another one stands up firm. Amen, church? So let's go. And then God said, okay, I love you so much that I won't allow you to be away from me. And then when we read in Exodus, I want you to read with me, please. Exodo chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 8. Exodo 25:8. Are you with me? Okay. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And then God made, okay? What? What did God do? He did a place, a sanctuary, something that the people would know that there would be a place, a seat for encounter with God. Again, God bring the encounter. God bring his presence. God bring the way for us to be together with him and with one another. Because if we are not together with him, we are impossible to be together in the real meaning of this word with one another. We are around. We can be near, but we are not together in heart. Okay? So God did that, and I just want to point something very specific in this chapter for you and I that I will speak later on in my second speech, but I want to give you a spoil, okay, for you to stay here and bear with me. So let's go for verse 30 in this chapter, okay? Exodus 25, verse 30 says, okay, so then God was giving the directions for the tabernacle to be built, okay? One of the directions that God gave to build this place was what? A table. On verse 30 says, put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. This is the first registration we have that how a table was built. Have you ever thought about that? That table is a place of communion with God because the bread of his presence was there. The bread of the presence were there on the table. And the table is the place where we are together and we can look at each other. Amen? If you think about nowadays, table is the only place where we can gather people together. In my house, we have a rule that around the table, when we are around the table, this never comes with us, never. Because this has been a wonderful tool, but also a very destructive one. And anything can distract us from God, but we will make every effort to be in his presence, amen, and to each other's presence. So keep that with me, and I'm going to talk about table later on, okay? But this is a place that God put us together. Can you see now today, us here? It's amazing. We could gather all of you around the table. It's something prophetic. We want to pray over you about that. We want us as his body living like that around the table. And you know what? There is something very interesting about this table that you are sit around. Have you noticed that all the cups are different? Because we are. And there is a miracle of God that brings us together even though we are different. So when Jesus came after, well, Moses' period and everything from the Old Testament, then Jesus came and he broke the Berea and he broke even more the distance because then everyone and every one of us, anyone could come near Jesus and could experience his presence. And that is amazing. how we can connect with Jesus. He's the bread and the wine, and he's the one who strengthens us in order we can be strengthened by each other. The word says that here, I long to see you so I may impart to you. I cannot speak much about that because my dear friend, Donna Raquel, I used to say that she's our master because she knows a lot the word of God, and she teaches like if she's telling us this beautiful and most amazing story that you don't want to stop listening to what she's telling you. So I'm glad, and I know that you're going to be blessed so much by what she's going to share with us later on. But you know what? I learned to see you so I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Why Paul said that? He really wants to go and share his spiritual gifts. When Adriana said that earlier on, when she read the chapter 12 of Romans, she said about the body of Christ. The body of Christ, if we look at our body, we can see we have legs, we have hands, we have arms, we have tummy, we have head, and head is Jesus. Amen? The body are the one who walks, who hugs, who sees, who get pregnant. We do the movement that God wants to be revealed to the world. Amen? And throughout different gifts, because hands doesn't do the same work that feet. Hands doesn't do the same work of my tummy, of my eyes. So we are all different. And we have to accept that. Amen? And I want to point to you some encounters that Jesus had. The way that our master showed us that although he was walking around people all the time, he made clear and intentional some encounters. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. First of all, that encounter with God and with one another, it's from God's kingdom. It's not just from culture kingdom, like our culture or your culture. It's from God's. So this is the reason why sometimes, even though I don't want to go to see my brother or to be with someone, I should go, expecting that God's going to reveal something for me and for him or for her throughout this encounter. Because this is what the Bible says. Amen? And then we can see, for example, let's see Lucas 19, verse Lucas 19. Lucas 19. When Jesus, okay, Lucas 19, verse 1 to 10 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So see, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner, to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and I have cheated anybody out of anything. I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man can come to seek and to save the lost. Tell me something here. Jesus was walking beside and inside a crowd. Yes, he was, with so many people around him. But then suddenly he had a look. He saw Zacchaeus. He saw a man who was a sinner. Everybody knew he was a sinner. But then God decided that was the day that mercy and forgiveness and grace would come into that house. And then, amazingly, what happened is, Jesus just say, I am gonna go. I must stay at your house today. So Jesus just said to him, I'm gonna go into your house. I'm gonna meet you personally, individually, just you and I. And then all the presence of God shared who he is, all his gifts, all his anointed gifts that Jesus carried with him was enough for Zacchaeus to realize in his mind without Jesus saying anything else that he should pay in double portion the ones he has stolen. Do you understand what I mean? What did Jesus said about his sin? See his sin? Nothing. Just the encounter of grace. So it reminded me, Christine, remind me the name of this lady that I don't know, Leslie, and my oldest friend here, Barbara, who were here. There was here 20 years ago a beautiful elderly lady. She was very white hair, and she was a dancing lady all the time. I don't know her name, but she was very amazing, very cute lady, and always happy, always smiling, always dancing around. Mary? One day, I do remember, as if it was yesterday, I was walking away from here, and she came alongside me, and she hugged me, and she said to me, you know what? Well, you know that when we learn a language, we always learn to listen. We understand more than we are able to speak first, okay? It's happened with everybody. It's easier to understand than to speak. So I could, by the time, understand what she was saying to me. She said, you know, I can see Jesus through your smile. And that was one of the most powerful words God ever said to me, because he was saying to me, you know what? I inside of you is enough to do what I want to do. I will give you the privilege to do something else, make it to work in different ways, but you know what? Always remember that who you are comes first. Your deeds, yes? After. And so this Jesus was doing the same thing here. He encountered that man intentionally. He asked him to come down and that he would go to his house. Can we do that, my friends? It's not about being not polite. Jesus was open and he was brave and he dared and he knew he loved so much. And then the love makes us walk distances and make us be vulnerable and make us feel silly sometimes. Like, what they're going to think about that? I don't know. This is not important. What is important is what God is thinking about your obedience to him or not. That he made me and you to encounter each other so you may be encouraged and strengthened by each other's faith. I know that when I was in America in my sabbatical year, I wanted so much to grasp every single thing that God was going to give to me. That once I turned to a lady, an American lady, that the people people were saying to me all the time, oh, the Americans, they are very isolated. They are very away from each other. They don't like very much the Brazilians because, you know, you have a bad testimony over here. And then I didn't pay attention on that words. I just turned to this lady, this beautiful, wonderful lady that was teaching Bible study for a woman, and I said to her, hi, I am Roberta. I'm in my sabbatical year. my children used to say that. I used to say that for every single person that I met during my sabbatical year. I did, because I want so much to share and receive that I was telling them my story. And then I said to this lady, I said, please, can I come and have coffee with you? I would love to sit and listen to you and learn from you. And said, you know what? Better than that. We are going to have coffee, but you are going to come over my house. I said, oh, yes. Oh, I was amazed because she invited me to her house, like Jesus did here. And you know what? She's amazing. I forgot her name, Miss Marge. Miss Marge, and she invited me. I drove 40 minutes to get to her house. And then when I got there, just her opened the door of the house for me was God speaking with me a lot. Just her smile, just her face, just her welcoming heart, just her love for me, that the person that she never saw before. She never saw and she didn't know me at all. She received me in her heart. I was so fed by God. And God said to me, I love you. I'm going to care for you. You see? I said to Margie, look after you this afternoon. And this is me looking after you this afternoon. And then I had the most amazing chat of my life with this amazing lady. So, you know, there are simple things that we do that can change somebody's life for one day or for life forever. I don't know. God did that with Zacchaeus and he never again was a sinner anymore. If we go to John 4, we are going to have another experience with Jesus. John 4, from verse 1, John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. And then we have Jesus encounter the Samaritan woman. Here the Bible says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" I love the way Jesus is intentional. With Zacchaeus, he said, come down immediately. I'm going to sleep in your house today. I'm going to be in your house today. With this woman, he changed the directions completely. Samaria was not the way, the shortest way to go to Galilee. But then Jesus did the longest way, the hardest way, the more difficult way in a sense of moral things. But he did. So should we. There are places God wants to take us that they're not easy. It's not comfortable for our souls. It's not cheap. Sometimes the longest is the more expensive. But then it's the place where God wants us to go. And he wants to use our lives to meet someone and make a question like this one, a tricky one, wasn't it? All of you might know this story and know that's a tricky question. So my question for you now is, do we listen to God to know places that we should go that are not in our routine, is not in our schedule, is not in our GPS for the day, but then we ask him, God, what you want me to reveal from you today? Who do you want me to encounter this day? And what am I going to ask this person about? So I may release, give, share all the spiritual gifts you are giving to me in order to make my brother or sister stronger. You know what? That when we went in our sabbatical to go to America, we didn't plan to come over here because God shut the doors at the beginning for us to come here. And then we went to America for Dallas. Long history short, we end up here. In the middle of the year, we understood that God wants us here. And then when I was talking to Mark first time about that, feeling that God wants to bring us here somehow for something, and then Marco said, this is not the way to go back to Brazil. Because I said to him, oh, let's go to England in the end of the year, like December, and spend 1 month there, the last month of our sabbatical in England. And then Marco said to me, this is not the way to go back to Brazil. I think Brazil should come down, not go over the Atlantic Sea again and then come. I said, okay, there is sense what you are saying, but you know what? Our God doesn't make sense with the directions he gives to us to do. He has a purpose more than a sense. He has a purpose for us to achieve. And when we are aligned with that, you know what happens with our heart? Full of joy. And joy is strength, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Sometimes we are so tired and so sad and so weak because we are not hearing God taking us to the place that He wants us to go and meeting people He wants us to go to meet. And you know what? Sometimes our minds trick us because keep saying to me and to you that, okay, people are tiring. And we are. People are difficult. We are. People are the ones who make us suffer. This is true. But it's also people who are children of God. And you know what? I have to give back the ones that are difficult for me to God. I have to give back to God the ones that hurt me. I have to give back to God the ones that make me suffer sometimes. Because somehow God uses us being together to polish one another, to make us strong. This is the way God allowed us to break sometimes. And then when I understand that God is the one over all, I give back to Him my suffering and ask Him, heal my heart. And I pray for my brother. And I become a believer, a mature believer. Amen? To end up my time with you this morning, I want to finish with Lucas chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, from verse 43 to 48, okay? Lucas 8, 43 to 48 says, "When a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus asked, 'Who touched me?'" He is so aware. He is so aware of anything and everything that's happening around him, that even though he was in the middle of a crowd, he realized that somebody touched him. Verse, carry on. "When they all denied it," they all denied it. Sometimes just us see what God is doing in somebody's life and in our life. You know what? Have you ever had this circumstance, this moment where you feel something, realize something, and nobody else see that? And they just not see. They just not see, but they do say it's not happening. We have to stand firm and believe and know when God is using our lives. Sometimes it's going to be a moment that we are alone with God. But it is okay. It happened with Jesus. So it can happen with us. Amen? "Master," they said, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Imagine now, when I have faith, when I'm strong with God and I have faith to touch your life and say to you, be healed by the power of God. Because you know what? God healed me. So he said for me to do the same things he does and he's doing, he's always going to do. So I can do the same as my father and say, be healed. We can go to each other's life and we can talk to each other and say, okay, talk to me. I'm going to be God's ear. I'm going to receive and welcome your pain. And we are going to present that together before God. And I'm going to say, okay, let's do that cake together. And I'm going to help you to give this cake to someone that you need to give. Maybe someone that hurted you, but you know what? You are giving the forgiveness. You are giving the mercy. You are giving the healing process that God, our Father, has done with us. So we walk around. We are the ones who are God's body in this land, in this earth, to walk, to hug, to be his presence on earth to each other. So this woman was healed because she had faith and she touched Jesus. We have to touch Jesus, but also we have to touch each other. You know what? Lots of people here were crowned, but Jesus didn't felt anything. He felt one person touch him with faith. You know, lots of people around following Jesus, lots crowned, but one touched him. Sometimes we are around so many people, a crowd. We are a crowd today. But you know what? God knows when one person touches him. It's notable. And also, we do the same. We as well know when somebody touches us. So don't take for granted when God said to you, say to touch someone. You are going to be his arms and voice and body to someone else. Amen? I want to share more, but I will finish this later on, okay? I just want to pray for us, and I just want to pray, God, that our heart will be fulfilled by your word and your presence today and your anointing, and you will make us walk and go and live as you always wanted for us to live as your body. And we will be known by people around, by the people in the world, when we love one another. Your word says that the world will know that you exist when we love one another. And there is no way for us to love one another not being there for one another, not being in person to one another, not helping one another. There are so many ways that we can express God, our love, your love for us, and our love to each other. I just pray, God, that you will renew us in our mind, in our hearts, because, Lord God, this pandemic and all the issues that came after that made us somehow be a little bit more suspicious than before, more cautious than before. But I just want to pray, God, that you will visit us today. You are going to come inside our mind and heart, and you are going to make encounter with us, and you will say deeply in our heart how important is for us to be together in unity, and how important it is for us to, like Jesus did here, go across a land, an ocean, and get to be and meet that person. How important it is to see somebody and know that God has got, you have got something for them, and tell them what you have got for them. How important it is for us to touch each other and know that we're going to release power and healing through that. Let us experience that today, Lord. Let today be a taste, a moment where we can live that. And I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that we will be strengthened and encouraged by each other's faith. In Jesus' name, amen.